Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Motorsports NRL Show. I'm your host, Lainey Arrowsmith, and wherever you are, at home or in the car, or if you're tuning in for the first time, thank you and welcome. Joining me on the panel for another episode to share our hot takes, tipping mistakes, and opinions that aren't fake, hello, Lachlan McIntyre and Geordie Sumter. How are you both, and how was your weekend of football?
I'm doing very well, thanks, Lainey. My weekend was spent up in Mudgee playing some of my own footy, some state touch footy, which was a lot of fun, but did mean I had a lot of catching up to do with the weekend's footy. It was nice though to be in an environment with everyone who's obviously big NRL fans, so got to talk to a lot of people about the plight of the Tigers and whatever. But yeah, it was interesting results. What about you, Georgie? How are you doing?
Yeah, good, guys. Big scores this weekend. I think with our tipping, we all tipped the same, didn't we? So I didn't sit and watch a lot of them. I've only seen highlights as well. So but great. I'm very pleased with Brisbane. We'll get to that.
Yeah, Brisbane, Jesus. Yes, and it was also really nice weather as well on the weekend. And I was just looking ahead knowing that, we've got more football coming and the weather's not looking too good for anyone who's playing in Sydney. So it looks like it's going to be wet pretty much for the next 8 days or so for us to look forward to. Any of you who are planning on heading out to these games coming up, I beg, please take an umbrella or a poncho. So it was a round to remember. It was Anzac Day. Anzac round, and the tributes and honours for the Anzac and fallen were emotional and quite evocative. Just seeing both countries memorialise the fallen and the defence men and women, it was actually really quite splendid. So as usual on the show today, we will delve into our best and worst performances from the past weekend of play, talk about some of the matches from round eight, big scores, and some of the news headlines. Among that, we talk about the kickoff ban, player movements and retirements, and litigation that could set a precedent for clubs. Of course, at the very end, we will share our tips for the round ahead. So let's reflect on our tips and the games that were played. Georgie, following on from what you said before, we all pretty much tipped the same this past round. I said I was going to tip with my head rather than my heart. And that means each of us, we came together 5 out of 8. How about that? We all sided. So we were wrong about the Warriors matchup with the Titans. Jeez, I am still a bit broken up about that. The Dragons matchup with the Roosters, and perhaps we were a little surprised with the Knights with their win over the Dolphins. It seems they can work it out without Caleb Ponga on the field. So I'll ask you, best team or player for the round? Lachlan, I'll ask you, which was the match or the player that stood out?
Yeah, for me, it was the Cronulla Sullivan Sharks against Canberra. They put a score on 40-0. It's very impressive. And Nicho Hynes really ran right in that one for me. So, yeah, Nicho Hynes and Cronulla Sharks. What about you, Georgie?
That was a good game. Mine was Adam Reynolds and his intercept. I did watch that live when the commentators called that he's not going to make this. He's in trouble. And intercept of the year, absolutely brilliant. His kicking game as well, even though he's not 100%, still was very good. And I'm so pleased how the Broncos have picked themselves up and are coming through, sitting at 5 on the ladder. So, yeah, I'm very happy, very, very happy.
Nice. I actually had the Storm. I thought, look, we know that South's perhaps coming off the bye. They were going to be a bit of a slow start. But they honestly played one of the most entertaining and skillful matches of football I've seen in a very long time. It felt like try after try after try. And I thought Cameron Munster was playing one of his best matches I've ever seen. So, I mean, look, credit to them. Storm are playing like the team that is really, really showing, if anything, to all of us at this point in the competition that they might be the team to beat, or the one that's perhaps in really close contention with Sharks, with the way the Sharks are performing at the moment in the competition. So, yeah, Storm for me, 54-20 win over the Rabbitohs. My, my. And down in Melbourne as well. It was just a perfect setting for them.
It's okay. Cool,
yeah, absolutely. And anyway, I don't want to gush on and on about Storm. they've got many fans to do that for them, but yeah, it was really a standout match. Okay, so we've talked about our best, worst, or underwhelming team or player for the round. I'll start with you, Georgie. Who do you have in your sights?
What is going on, Raiders? Really, 12-9 errors. The defense was, it felt like under 10s could get through that defence. I mean, the Sharks played well, but they didn't do anything fancy. They played basic football, spread the ball, kick the ball. For Ricky's 500th, you thought that they'd turn up and really have a go. So I'm so disappointed in the Raiders. Like, they're on a piece of paper, they're a quality side, and the young fellas, you showed that they can play and win. So what's going on?
I completely agree, Georgie. I had the Raiders down as well. I think coming into this game, I really had them on par with the Sharks. I thought this was going to be a good game. I thought maybe the reason that the Sharks were, so much ahead of them on the ladder was perhaps just a bit more of an easy draw this far into the season, this early into the season. But Raiders just weren't up to scratch in that game at all. I'm sure they've got a tough week ahead before the next game. I'm sure Ricky putting them through their paces.
I had the Dolphins. I think because I know I was drinking a bit of the Dolphins Kool-Aid after their big performance last the week prior, and then I think all of I guess emotionally I sort of prepared myself with the fact that the Knights weren't going to play as good a game as they would without Caelan Ponga. But you know, shame on us for thinking that they didn't have the depth in their team to do so. But I just kind of thought that the Dolphins had a few opportunities there where they actually could have won that match, and certainly could have. Could have put on a pretty good score, but you know, unfortunately, they weren't able to pull it together.
It's interesting that none of us either mentioned the Roosters, who you know put 60 points on the board. Sam Walker's come into his own. Like last year, he was, you're wondering why he was in that role, but the offseason's clearly done him the world of good, and you know, he's grown and grown in the role and played outstanding.
That's true. I think, of course, last week we didn't have the luxury of seeing what the team list was going to be, considering we recorded on a Monday. I wonder how many of us would have changed our tipping based on, you know, some of the ins that the Roosters had for that match too. So, yeah, definitely congrats on the Roosters. So let's get into the top NRL stories from this past round of football, past weekend, and even just the past couple of hours. I know we've got some top headlines to discuss, but I think the first one we have to lead off with is that there was an emergency board meeting at the South Sydney Rugby League Club this afternoon. So, I mean, we're recording on a Tuesday evening, and it seems that the fate has been decided for Jason Demetrio. Georgie, can you give us the update on this? Because, you know, this is your other club, but I'm sure you're keeping a close eye on what's happening in JD's life.
Sure did. So they had a meeting this morning and then they called an emergency meeting at 5 o'clock. So I think JD knew the writing was on the wall because he left training, didn't want to do an interview and said, I'm going home. You know, this is exhausting, which of course it has been, which, you know, we mentioned last week and the week before what it does to, what it'd be doing to his mental health as well. When they brought in David Ferner the other day, I thought, oh, here we go. This is interesting. They're setting themselves up. Something's happening here. And I think that's probably when JD knew as well. They put in a bit of a late fight, I think, against Melbourne, but they're just, yeah, they're still just missing something. And watching 360 this evening when the news broke, I agree with Wade Graham saying, if Buzz Rothfield's getting a text message before this news is broken anywhere else, where's it coming from? So what's the bigger issues behind the closed doors in this club? It's 100% right. Like there's more to it than just the coach. So it'd be very interesting. I believe that just before I came in, it was Ben Hornby taking over and David Furness staying as the assistant. But the 360 guys, Brayden Astor, James Graham, Lee Wayne's coming back. There's going to be a coup for him. And he's behind the signing of the young Godfella coming over. So it's a big watch this space. I kind of feel they've left it a bit late in the season to turn the season around with all of this nonsense with the coach. Any club going through this, I don't think can pick it up and build a team. They're not going to make the finals. They're going to make the eight. They can't rebuild. So maybe if Wayne comes back next year, it might be a turnaround. So going last year, round 11, you're first. And then round, what are we, eight? You're last. So one game in 20 is not the greatest.
I'd probably say, and like Lachlan, feel free to jump in here. I mean, I'm pretty sure that JD is probably just happy to know that there is some certainty now about his future. Do you know what I mean? Like he can go home and not have to worry about whether he's got a job in the morning. I know it's not like the best sort of circumstances for him, but at least he knows. And I think he's getting a fairly good sort of payout for the remainder of his contract to ensure that, you know, he's taken care of appropriately. I mean, like the point that you made before, Georgie, with regard to the fact that Buzz is even getting a text about the news, like a similar sort of thing was happening with the Dragons last year. And I think there was a little bit of that, and I'm not sure if I'm correct here, sort of happening with the Tigers. Every time there was something happening, there was someone within the circle of trust, let's just say, who was leaking this information, I would probably say is disloyal or, you know, an opportunist capitalising on like these sorts of unsettling times within their clubs. I mean, Is this something we're going to think that by the time Wayne gets in next year, he'll stamp out? Or is this just a South thing? Or is it just because the enticement with being the first with the news is still a thing?
Absolutely. And I think the Daily Telegraph, which personally not a fan of reading their paper, I'm a Sydney Morning Herald person, but I think it's money speak. So, and that's how the world works. So how much he paid for that inside knowledge. And Yeah, without a doubt, money under a table somewhere. It's just how the world works, and that's what people do. People don't have conscience anymore. They don't care. And that's in every workplace. This is just a workplace. Remember that.
What do you reckon, Lachlan?
I do wonder what's next for JD after this. I think we usually see coaches like this ending up in an assistant coaching role somewhere, and I hope he ends up at a club that wants him there and he can do good at. Look, we've seen Justin Holbrook, he's ended up at the Roosters. So whatever next for JD, all the best to him. I think he had a pretty good season last year. I know they fell away at the end, like pretty badly, I should say. But he had his moments. I think he showed that he definitely knows his footy, and yeah, it just hasn't worked out for him in Souths.
Do you think he might turn up as a coach for one of the NRLW teams or Super League, or do you think he'll remain on Australian soil, do you think? Because there's nothing that works better after being, I guess, within the headlines here in Australia for so long that maybe a fresh start might be on the cards.
Yeah, I doubt he'll go to Super League. There's not many coaches who, I guess there's not much precedent for that, for Australian coaches getting sacked here and then going over. I mean, yeah, it could be an option. There's definitely... There definitely roles for him over there if he was to look. I don't think he will. I think it's just, yeah, as I said, likely he'll end up in an assistant coaching role somewhere. Or, yeah, as you said, as in the pathways of the club, or in the women's side of things. So, yeah.
Well, you won't be going to Warrington, will you? You won't be going with Sam. You have a look at the coaches' boxes, though. You have a look at Paro. They've got Trent, and you have a look at the Tigers, and he's got JT. And there's Cartwright with Brisbane, and you know, like all of these have been coaches and back to assistant coaches. So I'm sure there'll be a spot for him somewhere.
I actually kind of wonder whether Flanagan, after his sort of history, might sort of throw out an olive branch or some kind of opportunity to JD and be like, "Hey, I know how this feels. Why don't you come over here for a while? We'll look after you until you can get yourself back on your feet."
You never know. Who's down there, the Dragons?
Dean Young is the assistant coach.
He played for them too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did too. Fifth most capped player in St. George Illawarra history.
Really?
Yeah, there I know. There you go. All right. Well, thank you both. I think this is also a natural segue onto more South Sydney news. And you touched on this just briefly before, Georgie. So Lachlan Elias, you know, I think a couple of episodes ago we were talking about how he broke his leg, in reserve grade. And sadly, he was dropped from the top team into the reserve grade, injured himself. And he's requested and he's now been granted permission to negotiate with rival clubs. Because South Sydney, like you said, they signed the St. Helens Super League halfback, Lewis Dodd. I think Lewis Dodd's only 22 years old. I think it shows with signing him into that role, he's a half. That they are quite committed to seeing him take that spot. So unfortunately, Elias won't be there anymore. I'm not quite sure what's going on at South. I mean, now that we know that their head coach is gone, they've sort of been shuffling players around. It feels like quite a big, I guess you could say, a big gamble or a chance to take on this overseas player coming over from the UK. I'm not sure how he's going to cope in the NRL environment, but perhaps I don't know any history about him, unless one of you can shed some light on his playing history. But, I mean, the Rabbitohs, they actually signed Elias until the end of 2025. They dropped him for Dean Hawkins right before breaking his leg. Look, I guess my sort of initial thoughts was great news for Lachlan. At least he has a chance to start exploring other opportunities. But, oh, my gosh, way to feel rejected.
He did come, but he wasn't like Art Wanderer Junior. I'm not sure if you knew that.
He was. That is my rugby league club. Just throwing it out there.
He was a junior from over there. He came over in 2019 with Anthony Seibold. Debuted 2021, and he was Rookie of the Year in 2022. 53 games for the young lad playing in first grade. He's played well. When they played here last year, I was lucky enough to meet him on the fence. He was one of the only couple of players that walked around talking to everybody. He signed Cass Hatt. Lovely, lovely young lad, well-spoken, yelled out to Kath and her brother, who are mad Souths, said hello to them. And he really doesn't deserve this. Like, he deserved another go. But, again, it's a business and they're at the bottom of the ladder, so they're going to do something. And if the plan is for Wayne and Wayne is behind this and it all comes out in the wash, he's done it before. So Lockie'd be a good fit anywhere for a club that is looking for a seven. So
yeah, well, I think most NRL fans would know him best for kicking the winning field goal against Penrith last year in the World Club Challenge in that
that
was Lewis Dodd, yeah. He's still quite experienced, 22. He's only held a few seasons under his belt in Super League, although they do play massive seasons, like talking more than 30 games a year because they've got the Challenge Cup as well as Super League going on. 75 first grade games under his belt. North England local, just come through that system. We haven't seen too many spine players come across from England and be successful in Australia. This is a big gamble by the Rabbitohs, but I'm excited. I'm really excited for this. I hope he fits in well. As I said, he's still very young. This is a massive deal for him, I imagine. And, yeah, I hope it works out for both parties. As for Lachlan Elias, yeah, I've met the guy a few times around. He's always walking his dog around where I play touch footy, actually. And he's come down to like, our Wanderers Club a few times to, you know, like, take photos and whatever from NRL initiatives, which is pretty cool. But, yeah, so all the best to him. But, yeah, all the best to Lewis Dodd. He's got a season ahead of him with St. Helens still. They'll be pushing for the title again this year. And then, yeah, coming over to Souths.
Yeah, good luck to him. And, yeah, also, like, sad for Lachlan. I'm just remembering that I think Lachlan Elias, was he not, I think, the player that Souths were banking on following the release of Adam Reynolds for the club? And then, like, you know, in less than, what, 2 or 3 years, you know, Lachlan's gone and Adam's still playing and he's doing pretty well in his new club. It just, you know, I guess a few sort of decisions over at Souths not turning out the way they hope.
That's a very good point. We also had Blake Taff in the mix as well when Adam Reynolds left. And, yeah, also kind of not really worked out.
Well, I just hope they don't do Lewis bad, you know, with a similar sort of outcome in the time that he's there. So,
well, Kath actually mentioned yesterday, I wonder if they're, you know, thinking about letting Adam go, that decision was a good one or a bad one, when they look at how he's playing now. So,
well, I know we're talking a lot more about Souths than we intended to, but I sort of recall that the reason why they were letting go of him was because he was an aging player and they wanted to sort of, you know, start, you know, furnishing the pathway for the young talent coming through, which is not a problem. But, I mean, don't be hypocrites and then go and sign other players who are under 30, you know, into your side, like Jack Whiten. You know, it's just like, well, which is that? Are you bringing in players, young players, or are you just signing older players that you want from other clubs? It's just kind of a contradiction in what they say and then what they do.
You need the experience, don't you? You need experienced players to teach the young ones.
Well, let's see how they go with this head coach, whether they've got the experience as well.
Wooden spoons, theirs.
All right. I think we've chatted enough about JD, Lewis Dodd, Elias and Souths. I'm excited to see what happens. Hopefully, you know, they can sort of salvage their season somehow. All right, so the next topic of conversation. Look, this isn't, I could say that this was kind of a surprise, or maybe it wasn't to some of us. So he only recently signed a 12-month extension to play into next year, but Luke Keary kind of shocked everyone by sort of announcing on Monday that he will be having his last season for this NRL season for 2024. His decision to finish up, it's apparently not linked to concussions that he suffered throughout most of his career, but he simply believed that his time was up. Luke Keary, I think he only played one State of Origin match for New South Wales in 2020, and then he had two tests for Australia in 2018. And I have a quote here: after 12 seasons and 27 years playing the game I have decided this will be my last and then I'll be retiring at the end of the year. He was quite emotional. Lachlan, I'll ask you first. Players are more thoughtful of their futures. I'm probably thinking about their safety and quality of life. It's come as a surprise to many, but is it really surprising considering how much more physical the game has become and the size of players that, you know, Luke is shaping up to each week?
Yeah, that's a very good question. It's hard for these smaller players to be, you know, doing this week in, week out. How for any player, really. I do think it's a good decision from Keary. We do see some players, you know, push on into their mid to late 30s, and, you know, I'm sure that's not going to do their body any favours for the rest of their lives. Like, he's still got his whole life ahead of him. Like, really, Luke Keary, in his early 30s, and if he feels like it's the time, I think as soon as you have that doubt creep in that maybe this is it for me, then I think you've probably got to stick with it. But when I first heard this news, my initial thought was, oh, is it that bad at the Roosters? I thought, wow, this is a sign of trouble for this club. I don't know if there's any truth to that. I don't know if it's just a personal... Well, I'm sure there's quite a lot of personal factors involved with Luke Keary, but I do wonder just how much the club environment has led him to that decision, I guess, or perhaps just the lack of positivity surrounding the Roosters at the moment.
That is a good point. I hadn't thought about what's going on behind the scenes of the Roosters, even though I was one to say that there's something going on there. For me, I thought it was going to be with his concussions. He has had a lot. It does affect you. And, you know, Wally Lewis coming out this week and really trying to drive the CTE movement. But I think I agree with, they need, juniors need to be taught how to tackle properly. And I think this is the problem with, if we're going to have a quick discussion about concussion, is the tackling techniques need to be taught from a young age. They've got to get it right. Like Paul Mosesulli the other day, in the first tackle. I think Luke, he knows his body and he knows what's going on, and it's his, like you said, Lachlan, it's his time. And if you're doubting yourself, you're not going to go out and give 100%. You're not going to play right. You are more than likely to get injured.
I noticed here that Kiri played for Ireland in International Rugby League. Is there a chance? I know he's saying he's retired from the game. And I know we had that JWH sort of moment, and then he suddenly announced he's going to Super League. Is this possibly the sort of, I don't know, the starting sort of signs of him going overseas? Look, I'm just thinking here. Well, he's...
I think it's his health. I really do. I mean, Joey Manu's going. There's a big departure. Maybe there's a doubt and worry where the future of the team is with who's leaving and why they're leaving. When you think about it.
Yeah, it's true. That's a lot of players living out of the Roosters hen house. Already at the Roost. I don't know what the appropriate...
It's a big chunk in their cap, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean...
Absolutely does.
Joseph Manu, is it Swali'i? And now we've got Kiri. JWH is leaving. Is there anyone else going that we've probably not known about or prepared for? Well,
maybe Teddy will go.
Yeah, I had wondered about Teddy. Actually. Yeah. Well,
I did actually have written here that I'd be surprised if Kiri made it to the end of the season.
Yeah. Mm. He might sort of quietly sort of leave earlier than we thought, but probably like a croaker. Just sort of get there for the big milestone and then just slowly fade into the background. Mm. Interesting. Look, I reckon great for Luke Kiri. I think that his teammates are really going to miss him. He's been one of those players that just seems to be a hard worker and a standout guy in terms of on the field. He just gets in and does the work. But, you know, just thinking about the size of the majority of Pacific Islanders that turn up, that he's fronting up against the big dudes. They're over 100 kilos. And I think last I saw, here it is, the weight for Luke Kiri, 82 kilos. Goodness me, my niece could probably tackle Luke Kiri, I'm sorry to say, because of and like I just kind of think it's probably the right thing for him to do if he's fronting up to that sort of defensive war each week. I think it'd be the right thing to do. All right, so look, that's what you may have read recently. And look, I heard about it coming up about a week or so ago, but all the details have come out in the last couple of days. But Jackson Taupine is actually suing the Canterbury Bulldogs for $4 million. He's alleging unlawful corporal punishment following an alleged July 2023 incident in which the then Bulldog, he was forced to wrestle over 30 of his teammates. And the lawsuit against the Bulldogs club and trainer, Travis Tolmer, Jackson is alleging that he suffered a psychiatric injury and physical and mental impairment as a result of the incident, which was a punishment for arriving late to training. Now, I heard a lot about this particular punishment, and I think quite a few people sort of commentated about how Jackson needs to suck it up. These are the things he needs to expect if, you know, you've got a top level player, you know, coming in. There are professional expectations as well. And I think even Cameron Seraldo at one point had to come out and sort of defend his trainers and this particular method to, I guess, disciplining his players. Look, question, I know we don't know all the details and it won't be known until proceedings begin with testimony and discovery. Should clubs consider revising their ways to penalise players, or should players know that this is what's to be expected as a professional, Georgie?
My thought is if you don't train, you don't play. You get dropped either to reserve grade or not at all. You just go into the reserve somewhere. So if this happened to him, I mean, and they did comment that he went to training the next day. And I'm not sure if he went for the remainder of that week or if he continued going for the year, because I've got no idea about any of it. But it does seem a bit excessive.
I would just say I've got a bit of a personal connection with Travis, the trainer. He went to the same gym as my parents. But I spent quite a bit of time as a toddler, actually, with him, which is quite funny. He's a very experienced NRL trainer. He's actually, a lot of fans would know him as the Roosters trainer in the 2019 grand final, who got hit by the ball after a charge down, stopping a Raiders try. It was quite controversial at the time, quite early on in the game. Ended up being like a mutual infringement when the Raiders had an opportunity to score because it hit the trainer.
I guess from my perspective is, look, if my nephew or my brother, you know, was getting serious about NRL and he turned up late to training, would I be happy if he was to tell me that as a punishment he was forced to wrestle over 30 of his teammates? No, I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be happy at all. It does seem quite excessive. I mean, Lachlan, would you be happy if you were, you know, 5 or 10 minutes late? I don't know how late Jackson was to training, but if they said to you that you have to wrestle over 30 of your teammates, you know, to sort of redeem yourself or as part of the penalty for being late, would you accept that?
Jeez, I mean, no, not at my under 15s club.
Would you expect that if you were under 20?
I just feel like it depends on so much context here. I feel like it's silly to say like how late was he, because that shouldn't be like a you know, I don't know, it should be whether the punishment is appropriate or not based on anything he did wrong. Essentially, it should be whether that's okay in a work environment. And I guess there's just different ways to look at that, like if it's a professional environment. But you look at it as these are professional trainers, and if they're deeming him as not at any in any like way at risk by participating in that, then I guess it's hard to say that that's unprofessional. But I don't know, it's tricky.
What was the ultimatum that he was given, like, you do this or what? You know, like at that point when they said that this is your punishment, did he at any point say, I'm not doing that, like that's not cool, I think that's excessive, I think that's borderline bullying. I think the report actually said he was about 14, 15 minutes late. And the report I read was his team were actually having a dig at him about it all and having a go at him. And, you know, it was quite a bullying scenario for him. I don't think it'll go too far in court. I think something like this will be settled out of court for the simple fact the NRL doesn't want something like this to open the floodgate for every other case of this happening if it happens at every other club. And this is a norm. We've got to change the norm. And that's across the board, isn't it?
I'd say there'd be clubs who'd be watching this very closely who might be thinking, oh, this sounds similar to the sorts of punishments that we dish out to players, that they'd be wondering what the outcome is. And I'd say rethinking some of their practices and some of their methods, which maybe they should be, because I think the more you think about it, I mean, like he's alleging that he suffered psychiatric injury. Like that's a serious term to use in a lawsuit. And physical and mental impairment is also a very strong strong terminology to use as part of a lawsuit. So, I mean, it sounds like he was deeply affected. And he's probably the one and only player that's, you know, maybe gotten the guts to stand up for himself and, you know, invite these proceedings. But this will be interesting because...
You have to speak up, don't you, to break a cycle and to break culture. I mean, how do we know if this went on, you know, that... there were players because it's a bloke culture to carry on. You know, that is a generalised comment from me as a woman, but how do we know it didn't continue on all week with them thinking that it's banter and that's harmless when actual effect was affecting him, you know, mentally, and he was going home having an anxiety attack, having a panic attack. You know, these players are supposed to be my mates and they're bullying me because I did this the other day. We weren't there. We don't know what happened, but clearly it was something that affected him. And, he's standing up for it and saying, no, this is wrong. This happened to me. Like all the other ones that you did put on the bit of paper for us to look at, the people have to stand up for themselves. You have to say enough's enough. You've got to break the cycle.
Would we be cool with this if we were to hear the news that it was a female player in the NRLW who was sort of subjected to the same conditions? Would we still be the same in our sort of response?
It's a workplace. It's not okay anywhere, is it? That's right. No matter who it is.
Yeah, interesting. Well, again, depending on the outcome of the case, this does probably set a precedent for these types of training penalties, I think, for future players. You know, I shared with you both, you know, other cases in which players have sued clubs. And the one that I was able to find was the Jared McCracken. Kind of funny story here, but Jared McCracken was a friend of our family growing up in New Zealand. And he went over to the Bulldogs. Oh, he's another ex-Bulldogs player as well. But yeah, he was successful. He actually sued the Melbourne Storm plus one of their former teammates, Stephen Kearney and Marcus Bye, for damages in the New South Wales Supreme Court with a neck injury, which was caused by a spear tackle that effectively ended his NRL career. So, I mean, there is a history of you know, legal proceedings that have been brought before some clubs. And then, of course, there was the Alex McKinnon lawsuit against the NRL following that catastrophic injury that happened to him when he was playing for the Newcastle Knights with that tackle. So there's been a bit of litigation going on in the NRL or around clubs. I'd say we'll hear more about this as news breaks. But if any of you are law nerds like me, I'll probably keeping a really, really, really close eye on, you know, what's the outcome from discovery, some of the transcripts, you know, where it goes. I suspect, Georgie, much like you said, it will probably be settled out of court before it makes its way before a judge.
Well, it's a workers' comp, isn't it, essentially? If it happens anywhere else, it's a workers' comp case and work cover or safe work's involved. So, yeah.
That's true. But then it also forces, like, that sort of regulatory body to sort of review what their processes are and then make some corrections so that this doesn't happen again, but really puts it under a review. All right, that's enough of that. Thank you both for your input. There was a lot of chat, really good chat though. Should we talk about our tips and previews for round 9? Was there any other news before we launch into that? No, let's do it. Okay, so current ladder at the moment, order from the top to number 8, we've got the Cronulla Sharks at number 1, followed by the Melbourne Storm, followed by the Penrith Panthers. Then at number 4, you've got the Sea Eagles, the Manly Warringah Sea Eagles. Number 5, you've got the Brisbane Broncos. Number 6, the Dolphins. At number 7, the Sydney City Roosters. And then number 8, the Bulldogs. The Canterbury Bulldogs are sitting at number 8. Wow, that is a interesting table. let's get into it. For the round 9 matches, the Eels actually have got the bye this week. I'm sure they've got a lot to think about, especially after what has been very mixed results in their past few weeks of football. But sadly, they won't be fronting up this week. I'm sure Brad Arthur and all of them will be sitting around having a good old chat about what they should look forward to next week. I think they're suffering a little bit under an injury cloud because not only do they have Mitchell Moses out, now I heard in recent reports that sadly Clint Gutherson's going to be out. So yeah, they need this round to really work on what they've got to look forward to as they face the Broncos the next time they come back.
Yeah, Clint Gutherson had an arthroscope this afternoon, I think. So he's out for a little bit, for a few months. Mm. Wow. It's a good thing they've got a bye. Yeah, big blow for them.
Which is what they don't need right now,
no,
I think.
They've got no leadership. Mm. Both their big leaders are out injured.
Yeah, wow. Okay. Well, good luck, Eels. See you when you catch up with the Broncos when you come back. All right. So the first match of round 9 is on Thursday at 7:50. It's over at Olympic Park. We have the South Sydney Rabbitohs hosting the Penrith Panthers. This should be a really interesting match. The Panthers are definitely the favourite coming into this match. I'll ask you first, Lachlan, who are you tipping for this and what's your margin?
Yeah, we've talked about the Rabbitohs enough, I reckon, this episode. I think it's really clear that no one on this podcast has any faith in them at the moment, although there is a bit of an effect we've seen where our head coaches get sacked and then the interim comes in and wins their first game before it all settles back down again. I don't think that's going to happen this week. I think Penrith have it by 20.
Agreed. I've got 20 plus here for Penrith, especially now surrounding all this drama. How does South get that out of their head and go and put on a performance against Penrith, who are a clinical team at the minute?
Well, yeah. I've also gone for Penrith. I just thought that in their performance the last round, though, they went, I think it was against the Cowboys. It wasn't the best Penrith I've seen, but maybe they're just a little bit shaky with Cleary coming back. But yeah, I've only given them a 12-point margin for the win here. I mean, on the point that you said, Lachlan, I think we saw that what you said, where a team comes back after having such awful news. I think we saw that with the Dragons last year. They came back and they just won really big after their coach got fired. Like, oh, okay. You can do it for your fans, but you couldn't do it for your coach. All right. But yeah, I'm calling a 12-point margin. Oh, we're all going for the Panthers. Okay. All right. The second match, which is on Friday evening, it's 6 o'clock at Brookvale Oval. The Manly Warringah Sea Eagles will be hosting the Canberra Raiders. It's a 6 o'clock game. Look, I've checked the weather. It's going to be wet. So we can expect this to be a slippery round of football. Georgie, who are you calling for this and what's your margin?
Well, as we were sitting here, I got a text to say Cherry Evans got off. He got a $750 fine, so he's free to play. So, yeah, Manly by 12. Probably could be a little bit more considering what the Raiders put on the park last week. But hopefully they've had a bit of a spray by Uncle Sticky and can come out and, you know, have a crack and put some points on the board this week. How about you, Lachlan?
Yeah, I do think on paper this is another really straightforward one. I think Manly should have it in the bag, especially with the Raiders' performance last week. I do think when they come out there, it will be tight to start. But yeah, I think Manly just have the quality in the end. I think Raiders will try and put up a fight, which won't be enough. So yeah, Manly by 12 or so.
Hmm. Yep. Look, I'm definitely on the Manly train. I'm not sure what margin I'm going to give this with certainty, but I know it's just going to be big. That much I can say. I was just noting here that apparently this is Anthony Seibold's 100th a milestone game as an NRL coach. So I think they'll be pushing for that win. Raiders have conceded 74 points in their past two games. So, I mean, that again just adds to the fact that we won't see them perhaps coming with the winning form that we would expect. So, yeah, I'm going for Manly too. All right. Now, I've sort of touted this next one could be the match of the round. So this is on Friday evening. This is up in Brisbane. So the Brisbane Broncos will be hosting the Sydney Roosters up at Lang Park. And this is the 8 o'clock, you know, blockbuster time for rugby league. Honestly, this is such a good game. Actually, I'm really quite looking forward to it. Brisbane Broncos versus Sydney Roosters in Brisbane. I haven't actually checked what the weather will be in Brisbane, but likely it's going to be either a mix of muggy and probably cold. I'll start with you, Georgie. This is your team. Who are you going for and what's your margin?
Well, Well, I'm a tad nervous, but I'm going Broncos by 10. After Roosters performance last week, anything could happen. But after Roosters performance all year, anything could happen. So the Bronx got, I think, nearly their side back now. So Thurlin's back, Ezra's back. So it's looking good. Looking good for Brisbane. Yeah, by 10. Lachlan? Yeah?
Brisbane, yeah, 10? This is much... I'm sorry, Georgie. This is a much trickier one to tip. And I'm going to go Roosters. I think... The Roosters did get the win earlier in the year when these two sides played. I also just think, that's a bit silly of me, I think Broncos are due for a loss. They've had three in a row. I feel like they don't have the consistency to go another one against the Roosters team, who will be buoyed after getting that big win last week, which I think could be a turning point for them. So, yeah, I'm going to go Roosters by 10. I'm sorry, Georgie.
You're off the card list, mate.
Broncos, like, they've won their past six games at Suncorp. I know what you're talking about, Lachlan. I don't know if you know this, but in the amount of matchups these two teams have had, it's 50-50. Like, they've met each other 48 times, and it's 24 for Roosters and 24 for Broncos. So I'm going to go with, I have a feeling it might be Roosters. I'm so sorry, Georgie. I usually like to pick Broncos, but I'm in the same sort of camp as Lachlan. They're kind of due for a loss. Sometimes when things go too well for them, it doesn't very quickly.
Well, Billy's re-signed for 2 years, so yeah, he should play well. He's got that out of the road. How many are you going by?
I'm going to say six.
Well, I'll be ahead in the tipping.
All right. Okay, so on Saturday, we've got the Canterbury Bulldogs, who are the favourites for this. They'll be hosting the West Tigers on Saturday at 3 o'clock over at Olympic Park. I'll start with you, Lachlan. Who are you tipping for this, and what's your margin?
I'm going to back my Tigers for this one. They've had a few losses where they've showed absolutely zero fight. And so this is the one where they'll come out and put a bit on. I think the Bulldogs have been showing some good signs. They're in the eight. I think their fans have reason to be excited. But again, just consistency with both of these teams, it's impossible to come by. So yeah, it's hard to tip. I'm going to go the Tigers. I do think that's tipping with my head. I don't tend to tip for the Tigers with my heart anymore. So yeah, Tigers by eight.
Well, I'm probably off your card list because I'm going to go Bulldogs by 12, only on the back of the Tigers last week. And they had good moments, but they just seem lost in a lot of their plays. Unfortunately, I think the Bulldogs are just poking along there, as much as I dislike them as well. I think they'll stick around in the eight.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Bulldogs will come out with a win for this. I noticed that they tend to do well against teams that are below the eight. So, and this is exactly that scenario. They have a pretty good win record against the Tigers. They seem to be playing with a really good form and confidence. So I am tipping them too. And I think it's going to be around about 8 points. All right, so the next match we've got on Saturday is the Gold Coast Titans. Yay for the Titans coming off their first win for the season. They'll be hosting the Melbourne Storm up on the Gold Coast. That is a Saturday game at 5:30 in the afternoon. Usually a great time of day to head along to the football. I'll start with you, Lachlan. Who are you tipping for this match? Oh, sorry, I'll start with you, Georgie. Who are you tipping for this match, and what's the margin?
Well, Titans ground always looks so good, doesn't it? They do a great job up there. However, Storm are going to get them, I reckon, 20+. As exciting as it was watching the Titans play the other day and how happy they were for their win, I just don't think they can back it up against the big dogs in the Storm. Storm are quite achievers. They always have been. They've just got that extra in them. You know, Masters playing well, Paps playing well. Big fellas are doing their job. That's how I see
it. Yeah, I agree 100%. Storm, they don't lose against the Titans. They just don't. So, Storm by 20.
20? Oh, look, I reckon the Titans probably got something to fight on with. I'm saying that the Storm will win, but I think it might be a smaller margin. I'm going to give that like around about 8 points. I think they've got pretty good ticker, the Titans. We've seen that come through. And I think they just needed that win to really just sort of set their hearts on fire to charge ahead for the remainder of the season. And yeah, while I don't think they'll be able to put aside the Storm for this match, they'll certainly give them a pretty good fight. Okay, so also on Saturday, this is the evening match. So that's the North Queensland Cowboys. They'll be hosting the Dolphins, the Queensland Derby. So that'll be at 7:35 up in the beautiful land that we call Townsville. I'll start with you, Lachlan. Who are you calling for this, and what's the margin?
I'm going to go Cowboys by four. I think this is a similar game for the Dolphins as last week was, kind of. And I'm just a bit worried about the Dolphins again, just sliding away quietly. Yeah, they're going to need to win these games if they're going to be staying in the top eight. It's these ones that will make the difference, the ones against the Knights and the ones against the Cowboys. They could get it done against the Knights last week. I think the Cowboys will be able to get the job done at home. What about you, Georgie?
Cowboys need a win, but coming off their losses. Do you think the Dolphins have got too much in their head now with all the talk of Wayne? Maybe people, you know, Wayne's going. They're talking about him going to Souths, and, you know, it affects players. Injury affects players. There's a lot of things. They've got a lot of injuries. But the Cowboys at home, I mean, I know they got beat at home last time they played there, but, by 12. I think there's a couple of tries in between them. And I think the Dolphins will stick it to them, don't get me wrong, but I just don't think that the Cowboys can do another loss.
So you're saying Dolphins win?
No, Cowboys by 12.
Okay, just checking.
You're saying Dolphins win?
Yeah, I'm saying Dolphins win.
By how many?
I reckon, look, it'll probably be 6 points up there in Townsville. They like to fight hard to win that match, and I just have a feeling that the Dolphins are – they don't have as much sitting on their shoulders in terms of stress. Like, they don't feel the pressure probably as much as the Cowboys are, and I think they'll just play good football because they can with a little bit of ease. They've got more wins under their belt. And, look, that I mean, we saw – I think it was that match in which they played the Eels up in Darwin. They can handle humidity. The Dolphins can, you know, pull themselves together for an away game. And, look, I think the Cowboys would really need to watch out. Dolphins aren't going to turn up there and like just like swim around, you know, and enjoy the Townsville weather. I think they'll be there to sort of, you know, set a point, because I've been worried about the Cowboys defensive everything of the last few matches. I don't know what they're doing. Three players that should fire up don't fire up, you know. I'm sort of expecting the same thing's going to happen, you know, this round coming up for the Cowboys. So all right, so we have on Sunday, the Newcastle Knights will be hosting the New Zealand Warriors. Feels like another one of these sort of repeat matches, except it's over in Newcastle. So on Sunday at 2 o'clock, this match, I think a few people are looking forward to. I would say a few Warriors fans are looking forward to, so they can self-correct after the last loss that they had to the Knights over in New Zealand. I'll start with you, Georgie. Who are you calling for this, and what is the margin?
Well, actually, Lainey, it's your team. What are you calling?
Oh, of course I'm going to call the Warriors.
Just checking.
Well, after their last performance, I'm a little bit disappointed, but I would say that I'm going to favour them because I like to think that Sean Johnson's a better halfback than Jackson Hastings. But, you know, if we're going by the last matchup, you know, they pretty much schooled the Warriors on their team matchups. But they did have Caelan Ponga on the field at the time. They don't have Caelan this time. I would argue that Chance Nwokolo-Clarkson is still a better fullback than David Armstrong for the Knights. And I see my team coming out with a win with a run about 10 points.
Well, I undernied about this one because I want the Warriors to win. But then I was thinking how the Knights played last week and how they're tracking. So it was a very, very difficult one, this one. And I did have Knights by four. But then I kind of feel like I need to jump the fence and go Warriors by four. So no, you don't change your tips, but I'm going to go Warriors by four. I am going to change this one.
Yeah, this is a tricky one. Just going off last week's games, you'd go Knights. But I do think the Warriors are the better team, all things considered. I think I'm going to tip the Knights by two. I think this has the potential to go all the way through to Golden Point. This could be a really close game. I'm going to go Knights by two. I think last week should give them some confidence to build upon. And the opposite can be said for the Warriors last week. So, yeah, Knights for me.
All right, in the final match on Sunday, it's 4:05 p.m. This could be like one of these match of the round type events. It's the Cronulla Sharks versus the St. George Illawarra Dragons, 4:05 at Shark Park. Now, it seems that the Sharks play really well at Shark Park. They have a really good record there. And the Dragons, I think, are hoping to turn up and just kind of upset that little statistic for them. The Sharks are sitting first on the table at the moment. We all know this. And Dragons are actually number 11. This is one of the first times I've seen them this high in the ladder. And I think we all got quite excited about how the Dragons have been performing. I think the Sharks have won their last 4 out of 5 games. They're coming in on kind of a winning hot streak at the moment. Unfortunately, it's only been 3 out of the last 5 matches, like 3 wins out of the last 5 matches for the Dragons. Obviously, there's a great win rate happening over at the Sharks. I'll start with you, Lachlan. Who are you tipping for this match, and what is the margin? Don't forget, this is the last match of the round where funny things happen too.
Yeah, and Battle of the South as well. It's funny that the Battle of, like, South Sydney does not have South Sydney involved in it. But I think I'm going to tip the Sharks. I think they'll get the job done. I think they'll just be clinical. They'll do the basic things right, like they did against the Raiders, and just be the better footy team. I think the Dragons may be a bit desperate to kind of, I think they might see this as an opportunity to knock off a higher team. They have been throwing together some good wins. So yeah, I think they might be a bit desperate, might be throwing them around a bit, make a few errors, and the Sharks will get on top pretty quick. That's my tip. I'm going to go Sharks by 14. What about you, Georgie?
Ooh. Well, I have gone Sharks by 8. Just they seem happy. They're enjoying playing with each other. They're mates. There seems to be a happy culture, happy with the coach. And that makes a world of difference in a club, and that's your winning formula. You don't mention forwards a lot, but big Tom Hazleton, he's been playing so well for the Sharks. He's got a try in the last couple of matches. Yeah, you could really put him in different positions, couldn't you? You could be a little utility player, that fella, just the way he can step and run and move. Yeah, but I just like what the Sharks are doing. They're at the top for a reason.
Well, I'm going for the Dragons because I feel like if there's one team that's going to, you know, sort of cause an upset here and ruin this winning streak that the Sharks have, it could be the Dragons. Sometimes, like probably unpopular opinion, but I actually do reckon Ben Hunt is a better halfback than Nicho Hynes. And just seeing the two of them on the field, I think Ben Hunt might just sort of step up and show just why he is a better halfback than Nicho on the day. They've got guys coming back like Michele Ravalawa, and him against Mulitalo. I think like they're just some great players that the Dragons have that I think will turn out for them. And also Zach Lomax as well, if he continues to keep firing and just coming out with all of his tricky passes and things, we might actually see a good match. So I'm saying 6-point margin. Come on, Dragons. I'm rooting for you for this. And yeah, I think it should be a really good match. That's why I'm sort of thinking that's going to be the match of the round.
That's on top of the Dally M's again, just to please you.
Isn't him and Zach Lomax sort of almost neck and neck right now?
No, Dylan Edwards is right behind him.
Yeah, wow.
Cherry Evans, Trbojevic, Lomax, Carrigan, Kikau Ponga, Katoa and Walsh.
I'm actually loving the last couple of rounds of football because we've seen some players really stand out. You know, it's great that they're sort of finding their form and finding their feet a little bit on the field with where they are able to really make the most of their position. But, you know, as we've got State of Origin selections sort of coming up, there are some players that are really sort of shining a little brighter than others that were perhaps considered for some of the spots on the teams.
And they might get hit. You can see it happening. But, no, they're mine.
Oh, Georgie, we'll get there. All right, well, that's our show, everyone. Thank you both for your important insights. Lachlan and Georgie, always a pleasure. Really appreciate your input for today. And thank you, listeners. If you're going to any of the matches, be safe, take care and have fun. And we appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you all next week. And thanks for joining us again on the Motorsports NRL Show. Take care of yourself and each other.